Hello and welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer and joining me is Phil Puddin' Briggs and Adam Potato Peeler Hodgins.
For your birthday, I'm going to put a supercut together of all your intros.
Oh, please do. I would love that.
No, today I was like, I'm excited about doing this with you guys, but I was more excited about the intro. I'm like, what's he going to say? Two guys that I'm like, what's it going to be? And it's my favorite part of the podcast right now. It's all downhill from here.
And I never know. You know that. I always just sort of think of it right beforehand because sometimes I go for a long one. But this time I looked down at my notes and I saw Puddin. I'm like, okay. And I was flop sweating a little bit when I got to you, Adam. Because I'm like, what am I going to call him? Then I looked down and I saw Potato Peeler. So I just went for Potato Peeler. So Puddin and Potato Peeler.
Yeah, that's actually
the three P's.
So hot take, guys. What kind of potato peeler do you prefer? Do you prefer the one that looks like a knife with a center missing out of it, or the one that looks like kind of like the banjo one?
Whatever's the safest, because they terrify me. So whenever I have to use the first one that you mentioned, I always get stuck peeling potatoes.
Right.
It's a nightmare for me. It is.
Really?
I just flop sweat. It's bad. If you want to see a sweaty Mark, watch a Mark peeling potatoes.
Give him a potato peeler. At the end of our movie, Mark, where you and I are henchmen.
Yeah.
Because this has been a developing story over a few podcasts, Phil. You'd be aware of that. Yeah. It'll come down to a scene where we gotta they lock us in a room together and one of us comes out alive. And I'm just gonna slowly slide you a potato peeler. Just see what happens. See if you can handle it.
I thought it was gonna be like they lock you in a room and they throw a potato peeler down in between the two of you and only one of you is coming out alive.
This is some Dark Knight Joker stuff right here.
And the tagline for the movie would be like, the finale is very appealing.
Oh. I'd let you have it. I couldn't kill you.
No, that's the thing, is we take the, like, not to spoil the movie, but like, you throw the potato peeler at me, but we know what's happening because it's a movie practice. I duck, it goes into a security camera, feed goes out, and then we make our daring escape.
Or we're so polite, like, you take it. No, you take it. You kill me. No, you kill me. And then eventually one of us gets stabbed because we ended up fighting over being too nice.
Exactly. Okay. Walking Tall. We need to get to this.
Real quick. 1 minute.
Yeah.
Letterkenny.
Yeah. How do you liking that?
Just started it. And I love it.
Do you get it? Like, being not from Canada, is it at all funny to you?
Oh, the humor. I mean, he talked about Florida State Seminoles the other day.
Right.
Like they drop a lot of topical... I mean, I get it. I mean, maybe some of like the local, I don't know, dialogue, maybe I don't get, but I mean, it's pretty universal themes. You got a sister, you fight, you're kind of bored, stay in a town, drink, you play hockey, you don't know if you take yourself seriously enough. Yeah, it makes all make sense to me. I love it. And the fart book, of course, everyone loves fart book. So Walking Tall.
Walking Tall.
The last time all three of us were together, recording episode, we also talked about another WWE film starring Ashley Scott.
and I'm going to suggest a future one that we talk about for our next episode.
Which one?
The Stone Cold Steve Austin Netflix show called Damage.
It's a movie?
Yeah, it's him and Walton Goggins as his underground fighting manager.
No way.
Yeah.
It's a new movie?
Yeah.
All right, 100%. I saw that message and I was like, for some reason I thought it was the Condemned. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
It's called Damage. It's essentially Lionheart with Stone Cold.
Oh my gosh,
I'm in for that.
Is he wasting 80% of his beers and just pouring it on his head?
No, that would be amazing though. He hasn't got that kind of money.
You know, I feel like you're a little bit of a Nostradamus.
Okay.
Adam, because I was talking to Megan about this, and Phil, if you remember during our 12 rounds episode, Adam said that he feels like Ashley Scott gets hired because she's tall for like being an actor in Hollywood, like an actress in Hollywood. And in the commentary, there's two commentaries I listen to. Dwayne Johnson, he's like, Ashley Scott, she's great, she's awesome, she's tall. So he put into words what you said. He explained she got cast because she's tall and she's cool.
No, often when I'm chatting with Dwayne, we talk about things that we have in common. We have similar thought patterns.
What else do you guys chat about?
We chat about like our workout schedules and how his is way more intense than mine. We talk about Scorpion King a lot. He hates it when I bring it up, but I talk about that movie a lot.
Your mutual love of tribal tattoos.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I bring up WrestleMania 15 a lot. He doesn't love that, but I bring it up a lot.
What happened there?
Well, that's where he lost to Stone Cold in the first of the Mania trilogy, right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, no, the Mania, the Stone Cold Rock Mania trilogy is amazing. But we should talk about Walking Tall. I want to keep us on track here, because so here's my Walking Tall bit. It took, when we moved to Trenton in like 96, we had no TV, we had an antenna. So we had like three channels and two of them were fuzzy. And so it took me 4 years to convince my dad, who had like a really good job and like was doing well, that a satellite dish was not a bad idea. Like the small kind of the Bell Express View satellite dishes. So he got one 3 months before I went away to university. So we had 3 months of like satellite TV that was glorious in the house. And when it was back in the time you could like pick channels, right? You're like, okay, I want to have, and he'd be like, I want the hunting channel. But to get the hunting channel, he had to get like a package of other channels that came with it. One of which was called Drive-In Classics. It was a movie. I think it was Turner owned. It was a movie channel, but it was just drive-in level movies. And so the first night we turn our satellite dish on, we can watch anything in the world. This is 2000. So, you know, we finally, the world is now opened up to us. We can watch anything we want in the world. He goes, oh man, Walking Tall. I love that movie. And I was like, what is Walking Tall? So the first movie we watch on this thing was the 1974 Joe Don Baker Walking Tall movie.
Ooh.
And have you seen the original one, Mark?
I have not.
Okay, so it is a tour de force. It is the most anti, like, Hollywood movie out there. And it's very, like, it's based, so Walking Tall is based on a true story about a sheriff named Buford Pusser. That was his real name. And he was an ex-pro wrestler, so that ties into The Rock, who, like, retired from pro wrestling, moved back to his hometown with his wife and kids, and then saw how corrupt it was, and then got the big stick and ran for sheriff and fought the crime and whatnot.
His wife got shot.
Yeah, so this is the thing. The movie is so, like, true to the story. That's why it's anti-Hollywood. It's not a happy ending. Mm. Like, the movie ends with his wife being dead and Buford Pusser in a face cast. Like, Joe Don Baker's face is covered by a cast at the end of the movie. So it's really, like, it's this gut-wrenching 70s kind of movie. But at the time I was really into like Billy Jack and like this was, I was kind of like into that level of cinema. And then when this movie was coming out, I was like, oh man, this is going to be incredible. They're going to redo Walking Tall. And this one differed from the story so much. Like, I remember being in the theater. I'm like, his name isn't Buford Pusser. What's this nonsense? So like immediate, I had disappointment in the movie from the get go, but by the end it got me back. I was back in.
I mean, anytime you got, you know, old Blue Eyes, Neil McDonough hitting Dwayne Johnson with a board, it's a good movie. And anytime, like Phil said, like we were talking before we recorded, Phil, this is an 80-minute movie. I don't know why I'm laughing.
Flies by and hits some fantastic beats along the way. We got courtroom scenes. We got pickup football. We're tossing 2x4s through casino windows.
Yeah.
80 minutes flies by.
We're smashing taillights.
Like, there's no, like, there's, and I guess he wasn't supposed to do that. In the commentary, he was supposed to take a balsa wood thing and hit it, but the director and him had a misunderstanding. Like, it was really no one's fault. They both said, like, yeah, we just had a misunderstanding. And The Rock drilled that car with his piece of wood, and busted out that taillight.
Yeah.
That's Kobe Smulders in there, too.
Yeah, which I had no idea, and then noticed that on the rewatch, that and like was like scrolling deep into the IMDb to see if that was actually her.
I was like, no, it's not. I was like, I don't think it is. But then when I rewatched it, the credits were on. I'm like, that was Kobe.
Oh, yeah, it was her movie debut, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sitting hanging out with Neil McDonough. Yeah. The Rock has come a long way.
Hold on. Kobe was in there with Neil, who was one of the Howling Commandos in Captain America First Avenger.
Whoa, MCU.
There's the tie-in. There it is.
Oh, man. I love how this movie wastes no time, too. He gets in. He immediately gets into a fight. And I think the MVP of this movie is the roulette, Aaron, the actor's name, the guy who does the roulette table. who has like this, or like the dice, whatever.
The stick man.
The stick man. Like, he's so, oh man, like he walks away with this movie, and it's just, and then he gets into a fight and he gets cut up, and then he heals in a week from massive internal cuts that a lesser man would have died from.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Douglas, who was in like Battlestar Galactica. Like, he used to do a lot of comic. He was at the Toronto Comic Con when you were there.
He sure was. Yeah.
And so, like, then you have he heals up, he becomes sheriff, and then the gunfights happen, and then he fights Neil McDonough, and then the town's happy again. Like, there's no this movie just flies by. It's 70s grit. It is not.
It's not 70s grit. I think the guy who should have won an Oscar for this movie was the kid who had to sleep in a tent outside.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like, hey, it's your uncle. He's come back from the military.
You ever murder anybody?
Yeah. Out to the forest, like out to the lawn, you go in your tent. It'll be fun. Trust us. I mean, it seems like there's a middle ground there. Like, you know, sleep on the floor, get a sleeping bag, something.
There's a garage next to their house, like a barn.
It's not like the rooms are so small that they couldn't possibly fit two people in one.
Yeah, they just dumped them out in the front yard.
They just threw them out like trash.
I was like, why is he sleeping in a tent when there's he could sleep in that barn area or couch.
Yeah. I don't know.
I got to say, though, Dwayne Johnson, he does a lot. He always has a sidekick in movies, whether it's Kevin Hart, Sean William Scott, Ryan Reynolds. Like, he likes, when you put him in, like, even Scorpion King, he had, I forget his name, but he had
the little guy.
Yeah, and so, I think Johnny Knoxville, though, is an A-plus comedic side character, because he walks out, he tells you his entire life story in the first minute you meet him. He calls The Rock Puddin', and then he gets his back, he leaves the shower tower, gets his back, then hangs out with him, becomes a deputy, and they ride or die, and then he has a big fight at the end that's really clumsy and fun and kind of ugly, and then he becomes a deputy, and they save the town. Like, this is the friend you want to leave. Like, you leave Townville, you come back eight years later, this is the friend you want.
Yeah.
Is so it?
Here's a flip from the original. I'm going to be this guy the whole episode. Is in the original, the deputy best friend he has
dies.
He's the black guy.
Oh yeah.
And nobody will respect him because they're like, they won't listen to a black guy. And so this one, they flip the races around.
Oh, they give him Knoxville.
They give him Knoxville, right? And race is no longer an issue. So we've come a long way, guys.
Yeah.
We've done well. But no, so Knoxville's a combination of two characters from the original movie. One is a crazy friend who originally brings Buford to the casino the night he gets all cut up. So Knoxville kind of does that too. He's kind of that buddy, but that he's a combination of two characters, the one who becomes the deputy and the one who brings him to the casino the first night.
Oh, I just like Knoxville. I had to watch Jackass and count every single yell in pain or scream in pain, every nut shot, every vomit. I had to analyze every frame of Jackass. So I've spent a lot of time with Knoxville lately.
Jackass is one of those. Sorry, Phil, I cut you off. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is the new one that's just coming out.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet, but I did the Jackass 1, 2, and 3, and then 2.5 and 3.5. But animal attacks, vomit, how much clothes were wrecked.
Yeah. It's incredible to me that those guys are still doing stuff 20 years later, that they're all still like alive.
You know what's interesting? When I first started watching Jackass, and this is completely off of the Walking Tall thing, but I thought they were just a bunch of kind of random dudes being out there. But now that I watch them now, like, these guys were like BMXers, skateboarders. Like, I was watching Knoxville when he got hit by a bull, and he keeps his legs moving so to not keep them planted. Like, he knows.
Right.
These guys know what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, some of the stunts that they do physically pain me watching.
Well, it's one of those, all those movies are like the stuff that's gold, like the stuff that's like really funny. It can't be touched. Like, it's so good. Then it'll cut to like a scene of him paper cutting his fingers. I'm like, why is this entertainment?
Oh yeah, that was
it's they're famine or feast to me, those movies. I really.
But the jokes come so fast that, And like movie, which it was directed by a music video guy, Kevin Bray.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Like he directed, you know, he like Whitney Houston. He did Brick. He did that song Brick by Ben Folds. That's a good one.
Yep.
That's easy listening right there. Jennifer Lopez, Savage Garden. And then he moved on to All About the Benjamins. And then he did Walking Tall. And I don't know if you guys have looked at his IMDb. This guy has directed everything. Chuck, 12 episodes of Cold Case, Vamp. Like, this dude works.
So yeah, I'm a big Succession guy, and he directed a couple episodes of that show as well.
Ooh, that's big business right there, isn't it? That's HBO.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, he's got a lot of really good TV credits for sure.
And do you think this movie, it's very, I think he directs it exactly the way it needs to be directed.
Oh, for sure. For sure. This version of the movie can only be 8 minutes long.
What kind of extra, this would have to be a 1970s movie that's 2 hours long, or a 2004 movie that's 80 minutes.
Exactly. It's either 73 and 125 minutes, or it's 2004 and it's 80. So another quick tie into the Walking Tall franchise is the first Comic-Con that I volunteered at was in 2005. And one of the tables I first worked was Kevin Sorbo.
Ooh.
And so I was sitting with him, and you're just trying not to look stupid at first. You're like chit-chatting or whatever. And I'm like, oh, so what have you been doing recently? And he's like, well, I just finished filming Walking Tall 2. And I was like, oh, are you like the villain? He goes, no, like I'm starring in it. And I was like, oh. And I had to like very politely be like, you're playing the Rock's character? Like, what's happening? And I was like, cool, man. Sounds cool. So that was like my first bit of like inside Hollywood knowledge I ever had. I could have called TMZ and broke the story.
It's incredible.
Sorry, Bill.
I was just going to say, it's incredible that both Kevin Sorbo and The Rock both are in Walking Tall and both played Hercules as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. I miss... What's up? Hercules was and Xena, they were perfect TBS, TNT, that's kind of here, where they played them just like 11 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Background watch. Super cheeky. Wait, before I forget, I just want to see what y'all thought about this. My biggest complaint about this movie is whenever they're in the town or whenever they're driving around, there are so many extras walking on the street. So this town is supposed to be like overrun by drugs and... you know, XXX stores and everything's dying, right?
Hmm.
But then you see a happy couple's walking in the background. It's just, and then you cut to a scene where there's that XXX store and there's like eight people walking inside of it.
It's a very busy adult store.
People are just plowing in there. And then there's a scene where after The Rock is getting arrested, the entire town's like he's driving not even the main square. He gets surrounded by about 50 people immediately. I'm like, why? Like, oh, wait, listen, they shot this movie in Vancouver. I'm pretty sure they had a bunch of extras and they wanted to have crosses. They wanted to make it seem like a town. But there's just way too much extras movement and they're all walking like extras. Did you guys pick up on the extra work in this movie or no?
It seemed like a bustling town. I'll say that out loud. It seemed like a very, very bustling town. My only complaint about this movie was I felt, and this is going to be, I don't know. The Ashley Scott dance sequence seemed awkwardly long. I remember watching it. Now, first time, granted, I saw it in a theater with my parents. I was like, this is weird. I don't know where to look or to do right now. But even like watching it now, I'm like, this seems like it's just a gratuitous. It seems like a music video. Like, I'm like, this is just keeps going on and on and on. And maybe that's the director's style. But I don't know. I just felt it was super weirdly long.
I felt bad for her character. Like, in 12 rounds, she gets kidnapped by Aidan Gian, the world's greatest criminal, and that's her role. And then in this one, she just kind of wants a big breakfast and then gets shot at, and it's very gratuitous. She just, yeah.
She wants a big breakfast.
Remember that? Does that sit like, I'm sure we got some stuff in the fridge. Like, I want bacon, I want eggs, I want French toast, I want pancakes, I want waffles, I want some shishuka, I want some cinnamon rolls, you know, give me some sausage links. Like, it goes on for a long time.
Yeah, it does. It does. She works up an appetite. But we're rounding out the cast of Birds of Prey, though, Mark.
Yeah.
Because Ashley Scott we've covered here and in 12 Rounds, and then we covered in Dragonheart Barbara Gordon from Birds of Prey.
Jeez Louise.
So we're one away from doing the trilogy. We've got to cover something with Black Canary in it, and we're there.
Who plays Black Canary?
Hold on, I'll look it up. I don't think she did much. While
you're looking that up, I want to give like a shout to Kevin Durand, who plays Booth in this movie as well.
Yeah. So
I think he might have been my MVP. The line delivery of a truck for a truck.
Yeah.
You know, that just really spoke to me.
the line where he was watching his truck get cut apart, or like the whole scene. I was in. Like, I was like, this is incredible.
And you know when
Johnny Knoxville cut your truck apart and you're just watching, you can't do anything about it.
Oh, yeah, he nails. And when he flexes at him, when he shoots forward at The Rock and Knoxville and they don't react, that was improv. And they both legitimately didn't respond to that. And then
amazing.
Knoxville's improv, like, look at this idiot. Like, they actually did that. Kevin Durant's a big dude, though. Have you guys ever seen him? Have you ever done a con with him, Adam?
Once. I saw him once at a con. He's massive.
Yeah, I did a movie called Devil's Knot. I helped out on that movie when there was a bunch of extras. There was a court scene, coincidentally, like in this movie. But I remember seeing him. I'm like, this dude's a brick. Like, no, he's a brick building, actually. So, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen his fight with The Rock is pretty good in the casino when he comes in.
Yeah,
they put up a good fight.
He hits an absolutely great double leg on The Rock. Mm-hmm. Where Rock knocks him down, and he counter wrestles beautifully and takes The Rock down. I was very impressed by that. I was trying to figure out where I had seen him from, and
I can tell you where you've seen him from.
Was that?
I can tell you where you've seen him from.
What?
The most emotionally draining movie of my life, Real Steel.
Oh yeah, I saw that in his IMDb credits. I was gonna bring that up. I think I saw him in Robin Hood, aka Gladiator 2, where again you guys talk about him being huge. Like he's Little John, and he just absolutely towers over Russell Crowe.
Well, yeah. he was also the Blob in X-Men Wolverine, Origin.
Like I think he's 6'4", maybe. He's a huge. He's a big dude in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets work.
So the other girl, sorry, Mark, just to follow up what I was going to say, the girl who plays Black Canary is Rachel Scarston, and I don't think we're going to cover any of her movies.
Okay. I mean, we might just have to. We're pretty crazy. So.
Okay, well, there's eight of them here to pick from. You ready?
Yeah.
We could do Virgin's Run, Fear of the Dark, American Pie, Beta House, Servitude, 50 Shades of Grey, Molly's Game, Acquainted, or Timeless Love. You pick. We'll have to just figure it out.
Hey, I'm in for Molly's Game, man. Aaron Sorkin, movie, that's a good movie, actually.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, Sorkin picture.
Yeah.
We got to complete the trilogy.
We got to complete the Birds of Prey trilogy.
I mean, there's a lot to talk about in Molly's Game as well. And wait, real quick, though. Do you guys miss early Dwayne Johnson? So
I miss Dwayne The Rock Johnson so much.
Like Scorpion King, right? He had cheeky and he was just – you could tell he was kind of very buoyant in the rundown. I know he took out an army at the end, but he still was being attacked by monkeys. He still was beaten up by Ernie Reyes Jr. Like he was still earnest. He was an underdog. And Walking Tall, you know, Neil McDonough pushes him to the limit in this movie. And nowadays, it's just like he just steals every airplane. He's running alongside gigantic alligators. He in Fast and Furious 6, he throws a 250-pound guy around like a beach ball. Do you guys miss early Dwanson? Do you guys miss early?
Rock the Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah. Do you miss that? Like, I mean, did he have to make that evolution?
No, I think to your point, when he did Walking Tall and The Scorpion King and The Rundown, we'll call that his original trilogy there. I think he was trying to prove he could act, right?
He took Walking Tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted to prove that he could be an actor.
His courtroom scene.
Now he's come – his courtroom scene.
No, I'm serious.
Now he's come No, I'm with you. But now he's come so far the other way where he's an attraction, right? Like he's just The Rock. Where if he's hired to be in a movie, they're like, just come show up and be The Rock. And I think he's kind of got that Clint Eastwood and Christopher Walken kind of thing going on, where I think every time he does an audition, he's like, do you want me to act or do you want me to be The Rock?
Yeah. When was the last time, like, looking at Phil Adam, like, when was the last time he wasn't Dwayne Johnson in a movie?
Faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
discussion.
Even in Get Smart, which he does like right after this, he's like kind of, you know, cool The Rock. He's like the cool secret agent in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what killed him?
Maybe Doom.
What killed him was Southland Tales. I don't know if y'all remember this, but it's an R-rated movie, and it was by the guy who made Donnie Darko, and okay. It was like this mind-bendy, twisty film, and it absolutely tanked. And Dwayne Johnson actually plays a character in it, two characters, and I think he really tried to like make this art house film. And then once that tanked, once Be Cool didn't do well, because he played like his character was like a gay bodyguard who was a musician as well.
He lost a bunch of weight for Be Cool.
Yeah, and then he did Doom, which didn't do well, and Southland Tales. And then after that, I think he started doing more like the safer movies. So I think maybe like those kind of made him be like, okay, I can't, like, I tried to do the acting thing, and now, like, he still acts, but then after this, maybe like you said, Faster in 2010, he's gone on to being Dwayne Johnson, if that makes sense.
Like in the wrestling world, it's often said that there's workers and there's attractions. And so the workers are the guy that goes bell to bell and puts on the best show. But the attractions are why people pay the money to go see it, right? They're like Andre and Hogan in WrestleMania 3 was the attraction where Savage and Steamboat put on the show.
So like Disco Inferno is the worker.
Dude, what a pull, Disco Inferno.
What a pull.
I saw him at a WCW show.
Oh, this is why we're friends, Mark, because you make the old Disco Inferno pull.
So I saw him. And Norman Smiley, I think, was there. This is still when NWO, LWO, all those people were around. Jericho was still in the WCW. I went to like a Barnhouse Brawl type show that I went to. It wasn't even that big, and I remember watching that. But yeah, so Disco Inferno, he's that guy, right? Wait.
Yeah, well, but actually, to that point, all of WCW's undercard at that point in time were the workers. They had such a strong undercard. Jericho, all those luchadors,
Pete Malenko. Yeah. Yeah.
All that stuff. They were the workers, but the NWO, like Kevin Nash and Hogan, those guys who are huge, didn't do much in the ring. That was the attraction. People came to see what they were going to do next. And so, you know, I think you get a little bit of a parallel there where The Rock was going to be the worker, but once you can be the attraction, once you can just do that, then that's what you get stuck doing, right? Then you're just The Rock.
I think what Walking Tall has shown us, though, based on that fantastic courtroom scene, which may have been my favorite scene in the entire movie, is that we need to pair, speaking of Aaron Sorkin, we need an Aaron Sorkin and The Rock courtroom drama.
Whoa.
Oh, man. Can Joe Don Baker be the old man attorney so that we get both Walking Tall guys in there?
Oh, my gosh. Rock the case.
Rock the case? I'm into this.
Because I have a question, though. Okay, so they go to the casino. He sees that Stickman is cheating.
Yeah.
He kind of deals with it poorly. The bouncers clearly overreact. And then he goes into their business one day and just absolutely destroys it because that the tent kid did crystal meth.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever tried it before? Well, we may have pushed him. We never hear about that again. But he should be arrested, should he not?
Yeah, no, there's a right and a wrong way to do things because this isn't the Wild West anymore.
Or is this court case, he's so good in court, they free him?
Well, he convinces them that his heart was in the right place, right? Like, you know, like there's doing things that are against the law and there's having criminal intent, right? And so without criminal intent, there's no criminal action, whether like it's a whole thing. So his character arc, both in the original and in this one, is that he has to learn the law. And that's fleshed out a little bit more in the original than this one, but he goes in as a guy who doesn't know how to do things, and then he learns the law, and the law becomes his ally.
Oh. Hmm. We don't get one in this, do we?
Well, you get the one shot of the book where he reads the book.
I mean, he did a pretty good job going from facing an 18-year sentence just to take his shirt off and show his box cutter scars. And, you know, then they're voting him in as sheriff.
Yeah. So I don't have a lot of box cutter experience. How deep into the internal organs can one go with a box cutter?
Well, how long does this movie take place? In a month. It's 1 month, correct?
I think he's – no, he can't.
Because the sheriff said it's voting season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's recovering so long. Like, the recovery time
for
that –
He recovered for 6 hours. He watched two movies and ate a sandwich.
I would have thought it would be a year from beginning to end of this movie is what I thought.
I thought it was like 3 days.
Well, it's somewhere in the middle. It's between those two.
Wait, what did you think, Phil?
I think a year is probably a good call. There's nothing that indicates that it's a year. I think, yeah, we have every indication that probably this took place over a month. But realistically, yeah, unless he's in and out of the hospital, he's on his deathbed. The doctor says a lesser man would have died from this. And he's doing sit-ups in his living room like 3 days later.
But
– Yeah.
He never loses muscle mass. He – man, I read a year – They should have him grow a beard, maybe, to show the passing of time, right?
Yeah.
It's like, at the end of the year, he has a very fake beard on.
Or even if they had, like, a Christmas scene where they're like, hey, now, like, he's all damaged up, but he's having Christmas with the people.
Opening presents.
Right? If they had him in the bed, but they brought him a birthday cake, that kind of thing.
So he just sat on a couch for a year and healed?
Yeah. Man. At least 6 months. At least 6 months.
I thought this was like 8 weeks. No, not 8 weeks. 8 days. Because I thought it all took place in that month. So he could be voted in sheriff.
No, I think it's the following election season is what I think. But I could be wrong. But guys, I found something on the internet I'm going to send to you right now.
I mean, the true story, he came back 2 years later, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was a whole – in the big story – like. In the original one, yeah, it's 2 years later. He learns the law. He does the whole – it's a whole thing. So this is not the case here. But I've just posted in our Messenger group a picture of the real Buford Pusser in his wrestling gear.
Ooh.
So this is what The Rock is supposed to be portraying, this guy right here.
Oh, dude had a chin on him, that's for sure. Tough
right?
guy.
Like he's a tough, big, like corn-fed – North American lad right there.
But like,
so I think The Rock is a great is on the nose to play this guy.
Wait. I still think he was just on the couch for 3 days.
I'm not gonna ruin this for you, Mark. This whole movie takes place in 4 weeks, okay? How's that make you feel?
But remember he hands him the brochure. I guess it is the following, but how often do sheriffs get reelected?
Isn't it yearly?
I don't know, we could type it in right now.
Mark, we live in Canada. We don't have any sheriffs.
Yeah.
You live in Georgia.
this is your
– yeah, if someone asked me – if tomorrow my boss was like, how often are sheriffs voted in the States? I wouldn't Google it. I would just call Mark.
4-year terms.
Oh.
Ooh.
Then I apologize. We're going to go back to your 3-day recovery here.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Let me go to Washington because then there'll be like 8 days depending on if The Rock heals up. All right, Washington, right. 4-year term.
Okay. Mm.
He gets voted in, correct?
But gets voted in. Hold on, though. Wait.
But people are chanting Sheriff Vaughn as he's walking out of the courthouse.
Yeah, so don't they – hold on.
That don't kid doesn't over, grow don't either, call though.
Don't they call the emergency election? Like, don't they call a re-election?
Wait, they call a re-election?
Isn't it like not a scheduled election? They call a special election, don't they?
Let's see.
Referendum on the local sheriff election.
Right.
Wait, so it says he reveals the grotesque scars on his torso from his being tortured by the casino staff. He is then acquitted and wins the election for sheriff.
Okay, so I guess it's just the regular election.
So is that 4 years? Is he on that couch for 4 years?
No, it can't.
No,
that's,
no, same year.
Too much
same.
Either way.
Yeah.
This movie's 80 minutes. It makes me so happy.
The exact amount of time it took The Rock to heal.
I mean, yeah. Sorry to like, I'm not trying to argue. You blew my mind with the year healing.
I just figured that's what a reasonable person, because he was near dead. Like, he almost died. You can't get better from being dead in a week.
Well, lesser men would have died.
Right. And you know what? If we're being honest, when it comes to The Rock, all of us are lesser men.
Yeah. So everyone else would have died.
The question that this brings up for me is, how bad is that knee? Like, what did he do to his knee then? If that knee injury is still lingering and nagging. At one point, Neil McDonough throws him out of the factory. He falls 30 feet and lands flat on his back. And instead of, like, having a broken neck or a broken back or something like that, he's clutching the bad knee injury. He's able to recover from the box cutter scars in 3 days, but that knee injury is still lingering.
Whoa.
I would have loved it if they would have had an emotional flashback to him walking into his house and tripping on like a Tonka truck, and that's what caused the knee injury. I just would have cleaned up my toys as a kid, I wouldn't have had this bum knee.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, though, because he has a bum knee, and they go after his knee during the football game, and then...
Yeah. I'm like, when that happened, I was like, why'd you move back to this town? People here are jerks.
Yeah, they just go at, like, this is after he threw the ball. And also, too, Neil McDonough lets him have it. He's like, you're a failed college football player? Like, The Rock played college football at Miami.
Yeah. He played professional football in Canada.
That one cut pretty deep. I wonder if that was an improv.
Yeah. He just starts ripping on The Rock.
Cut as deep as a box cutter.
Yeah.
Box cutter wound.
You're Neil McDonough, though. It's 2004. You're Neil McDonough, and you're gonna do a movie with a professional wrestler.
Uh-huh.
Who's done The Scorpion King and The Rundown. Do you respect The Rock as a wrestler or as an actor at this point in time?
I think so. Because wrestling was a different world back then.
It really was. It was at the peak.
It was gigantic. And he put the work – he had been putting in the work probably since, what, 01 with Scorpion King or Mummy Returns. And then Scorpion King was a success. And then The Rundown was a critical and financial hit.
Yeah. Well, you put Walken and The Rock in a movie. What do you think is going to happen?
Beautiful. And so I think McDonough – probably did like – I mean, The Rock is nothing but complimentary. So during the commentary, he just kept talking about how nice of a butt Neil McDonough has. So that was interesting. He's like, look at those blue eyes.
It's a hot take.
He's like, look at those blue eyes. Like, The Rock was like – he also got put in the wrong hotel, and he was really mad about that. But, that's a great question. I think by this time he had done enough work. This wasn't like, you know, Phil gets a hit YouTube show, and then a week later – he's starring in Walking Tall 6 with Neil McDonough.
The same character.
He gets out of jail and then he tries to go back up again. And then Phil, you know, a big time YouTube star who's never starred in a movie, takes a weapon and defeats him. Like, then I'm not bagging on you, Phil, but like, this is your first movie. You know what I mean? Like, you're YouTube famous. You know, you have a house with a bunch of influencers. So, you know, you don't take the craft. I don't know why I'm developing this character for you.
No, I love this so much.
You don't take the craft. You know, you're respectful, but you don't get the craft yet. So McDonough's like, oh, this is where I'm at in my life, but it's a paycheck.
I'm taking some acting classes, but like, I'm not.
But not seriously.
Yeah. Not seriously.
And you're kind of worried, but so you go method, because I know a lot of actors who don't have formal training like to go method. So you're kind of like, well, you know what? I'm going to bounce at bars. You walk around hitting things with 2x4s every day.
I'm going to show up doing a strange accent, like a strange mix of accents. just to show everyone that I'm really going for it.
Yeah.
Are you the guy that did an entire episode of Law and Order for your audition?
Yeah. Every single role, rapid fire dialogue.
Yeah.
You quoted Molly's Game, the entire movie.
Yeah.
On tape.
Yeah.
And like, well, you know, I was asking for like a 30-second, you know, clip on the iPhone, but you know, you watching you do Molly's Game, you really nailed Chastain. Mm-hmm. Like I felt the pathos there.
I got a little exhausted on, you know, the third act, but you brought it home. You brought it.
Yeah, you kind of leaned a little heavy. Like I know you're supposed to be Michael Cera, but I felt a lot of Tobey Maguire in that.
Yeah.
So I want to do this for a second, Mark. Because the Walking Tall, the original one, had two sequels with a different lead actor. So Buford Pusser was played by a different character than Jodan Baker, a different actor than Jodan Baker in the sequels. But it got two sequels, a TV movie, and it got a TV series. And then this one also got two sequels, starring a different actor in the lead role as well. It got Walking Tall: The Payback and Walking Tall: Lone Justice, but also a different actor in the lead role. So it kind of mirrored history there.
So when they remake it in 3 years, who should be the new Chris or Buford?
So they played
college football. It didn't pan out. Right. So then they went in the military for 8 years. So they're 29, 30, right? Around that age.
And the actor needs to be tied to professional wrestling in some way? Question mark?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a current WWE wrestler.
Okay, so I'm going to say for the original remake that they're going to do.
I got one. Go ahead. Adam, go with yours. I got one, Mark, that I think you're going to like.
Okay, I like what's going on. So I have my two. So I have the guy to play that in the first one and then the guy who's going to play it in the sequels. Are you ready for this?
Oh, you have all of them. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So the guy who's going to play it in the original one, like the big one, they're going to get Brock Lesnar in, who's the biggest name. So he would have been like the Rock of the day. He's had success in all kinds of stuff. Everything he does, he touches the gold. So the Rock or Brock Lesnar is going to play it in the theatrical release, but the straight to Netflix sequels are going to be starring Johnny Morrison.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, you know I support that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
That's my take. What's your take, Phil?
So I, you know, instead of going pro wrestling, you know, Mark knows I try to tie in MMA to every single podcast appearance that I make here.
Brock Lesnar, former UFC world champion.
Oh, which is fair, right? Fair crossover as well. We could say Brock's MMA stardom is applicable here as well.
Yeah.
But again, if we're talking like former soldier, former football player, comes back to clean up his town, wins like some type of, you know, political, like is in a political position. I would say give me Walking Tall starring Brian Stan.
Whoa. Who is
like a former soldier, incredible UFC fighter, now going into business and politics and all of this. Brian Stan would be awesome for this.
Yeah, I mean, he has a Medal of Honor, does he not?
I think he might.
Oh, so, I like that.
That's great. Do you guys want to know a crazy comparison?
Huh.
So Walking Tall with The Rock, who you could say is like instant draw money. And not so much at this point in time in 2004, but he's a draw, right? Like he's a box office draw. The budget for Walking Tall in 2004 was $46 million. The box office was $57
million. Mm.
So that's a razor thin margin, I would say, right? It made $11 million on paper with advertising and promotion. I don't know if there's any real money there. In 1973, the budget was $500K and it made $40 million at the box office.
Oh, wow.
How about that, eh? Isn't that bananas?
I think the biggest problem with this movie is that it's just a decent good like afternoon cable film.
No, this is a TBS movie. Yeah. You nailed it when you said a TBS movie, right?
When people left the theaters from this movie, I don't think a lot of people were screaming, man, oh my gosh. Like, there, no one. I don't think anybody left this movie on a high. I think they sort of left this movie going, yeah, that was cool. And people are like, hey, what'd you think about it? Yeah, it was good. Like, I liked it. So like, I think that's maybe what kept it from word of mouth. Because did any of you guys leave the theaters screaming, like, oh my gosh, or...
So I know exactly what I did when I left this theater, because I saw it in the theater in Belleville's Quinte Mall, and we saw it in a matinee. I went down to my parents' house, and my wife and I went with my parents to go see it. And after that, I went to Sam the Record Man, and I bought the original Walking Tall trilogy on DVD.
Ooh.
I was so pumped up about it. I was like, I need to own the original.
And my reaction to seeing this, particularly, I don't remember seeing it originally, but particularly on the rewatch, and we talked about this actually when the three of us got together and talked about 12 Rounds, how there's a WWE movie that's, you know, borrowing a lot of tropes. It's basically Speed, right?
And Die Hard. It's Speed
and Die Hard. Speed and Die Hard. And I came out of this going, it's maybe a little bit of like the poor man's Roadhouse, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. Did you guys get the Roadhouse vibes from?
Yeah, it's big guy goes to small town, right? That's that.
Yeah, and then you have the local crime lord who runs everything, who controls the office.
Like, the casino should have just been called the Double Deuce as a tip of the cap.
Yeah.
It's
an insane casino too. What's going on in that place?
Everything, Mark. Everything is going on in that place.
Yeah, it's like, but it's like Roadhouse. It's a remake, but then it's kind of like the PG-13 version of it. So I think,
but
that's...
it's also a fictional remake of a like historical biopic. It's super weird, and I think it's one of the only ones that exists in the world where it's like, we're gonna remake this Paramount biopic, but we're gonna change the names, and we're gonna clearly take liberties with it, where it's almost it almost isn't based on a true story anymore.
Yeah, and Wounds Heal in 3 days.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Should there have been a scene of The Rock doing Tai Chi out in front of the
bar? Oh my gosh, that's all. Throat rip?
Yeah.
Yes, there should have... All right, listen. Like, for his healing montage, it should just be a year. And this movie, it's 80 minutes, so let's make it 100 minutes. And those 20 minutes are just him training to get back in shape over the course of a year.
He staples his box cutter wounds. Clothes, and just starts doing sit-ups. Pain don't hurt, and just starts doing sit-ups in the living room.
Monster trucks.
He should have.
We need better bands. We need Chicken Wire.
When he hired his new deputies, he should have did the whole, you be nice, until it's time to not. He should have done a word-for-word speech.
Oh, man. He meets a nice doctor.
Right.
Ashley Scott could have worn a doctor's uniform instead of a fireman, and then that could have tied in with Roadhouse.
Absolutely.
I just want to get my dream casting out, and I'm sorry, Adam, if I'm going to lose you here a little bit, but I want Polish remake.
You've never lost me. A Polish remake?
With Jan Blachowicz.
Okay. Yep.
Absolute beast of a fist fighter. Polish. Because you know that'd be messed up. Because the European versions of things are always crazier. Yeah. So... Jan Blachowicz or Julian Pena, who just beat Amanda Nunes. Pena's a beast. Like, you see those arms, like, she's like shredded. So I think if she was a bouncer in a bar, she could lay waste to people. So that'd be cool. So Julian Pena or Jan Blachowicz in a Polish remake. You know what? Put Julian Pena in the Polish remake. Have her star in a Polish remake of Walking Tall.
Okay. Now, I know I've said Brock Lesnar to have the wrestling tie-in, but we all know this is a custom-made role for Scott Atkins, right?
He would have to be in Walking Tall 2, though.
Yeah, he's the direct-to-DVD sequel.
Man, but so many spin kicks.
So many spin kicks.
Oh, I want a Walking Tall with Scott Atkins.
We all
do. What would his weapon be?
A lamp. I think the first...
Like a metal pole of a lamp? Well, yeah, lamps?
Yeah, so I think that his first fight is at a casino, but it's like a real dingy. It's almost like someone's running it from their garage. It's like a
garage casino. Those are
garage casino. So there's a house lamp in the corner, and he gets in a fight, and he wails out the house lamp and breaks the bulb part off the lamp shade. So then he just has like essentially a bow staff that used to be a lamp. And then he just carries that thing around with him as a reminder why he's doing it.
And he lights people up.
Yeah, light it up, baby. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, gosh. We talked about this earlier, so this is a little pre-planned. But you guys gave me such hilarious answers. So, Phil, you are, you know, you're Hank McCrory, right? You're moving home and back to the greater Toronto area.
Mm-hmm.
As Adam, I don't know if Adam likes it when I say that.
So you, I love when you reference the GTA.
Yeah, and you know, you come back home after 8 years of being in the military. You didn't fail out of the military. You were just in the military. You know, everyone's like, you bombed out of the military. Like, he did his time. He was in there for 8 years.
Yeah.
So you do your time. You come back home, and just there's just, you know, there's lines of people around the block waiting to go to the XXX stores. You know, those crazy casinos. You witness drug dealing. Your nephew does crystal meth, and he sleeps in a tent. What's your weapon?
Yeah, I think the direction I want to go with this, it's like I've been away in the military, or I'm like I've been on special assignment, so I've been like climbing mountains. I'm essentially going to turn this into Batman Begins, where I'm like I'm climbing mountains and I'm inhaling flowers and hallucinating and fighting ninjas, and so I come home and I'm well trained. I'm essentially a ninja, so I'm a sheriff and I'm carrying, you know, throwing stars. I'm carrying size. I think I want to go with like the Raphael Ninja Turtle size, like hanging down like out of my belt.
Yeah.
And then wow, people are just like, that. What is that guy doing? He's got ninja size.
That would be so confusing for me.
You would have. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, like, so I'm living in GTA. You know, I think I'm kind of like the king dog. And you walk up to me with size.
Hmm.
You run.
Yeah.
What do you, like, the so mental you would game have has been won. You've won the mental game with your weapons.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I say he would have the same effect on me as the guy at the, you know, Canada Day or July 4th, like, community festival that's walking around with a snake on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And you're like, because, you know, there's always that one guy who's like, this is my day. I get to take my snake out for a walk.
What?
Because, you know, there's always the guy that has a snake or like a parrot or some weird animal. He's like, I can walk it today because it's going to be nice and warm. And I'm like, my reaction to that guy is like, I don't want to know him, but I even more so don't want to talk to him because I know that he's already won the mental game. I have no idea what's going to happen next. He's such an unknown commodity. So a sheriff brandishing Raphael size? Yeah, you can't get your mind around that.
And you're good with them too, right?
Yeah, you just pull them out, twirl them around a few times, and then smash somebody's taillights, and you're good to go.
Man,
nobody's gonna mess with you.
Would you be as good with those size as Jennifer Gardner is in Daredevil with her size?
Yeah, hopefully as good.
Would you train in a similar fashion? Would you have a pulley system on your ceiling that drops bags of sand at strategic moments during your choreographed training session that you have drawn devil faces onto them?
Do you listen to Evanescence exclusively when you train?
I feel like this is like the international Psy training manual. We are writing what needs to go in there. You've got to crank the Evanescence.
Yeah.
And have an elaborate sandbag pulley system. That's the only way. Like, if you're going to be recognized as, like, you know, an accredited Psy black belt or something like that, mm-hmm. those are the tests that you have to go through. Like, you get some Psy grandmaster who turns on the Evanescence and watches you navigate the sandbag pulley obstacle course to determine whether you're going to be certified or not.
What kind of sound system does this guy have? Because, like, how set the scene for what this grandmaster, how does he play Evanescence?
Oh, that's a good question. We're up like in the Himalayas somewhere, so I've had to like climb this whole way. I'm just going to go full Nolan as always. And he's got ninjas, but they're also a drum line. And so we've got like timpanis and snare drums and maybe like a choir in the background.
Whoa.
And they're just doing like full drumline / choir Evanescence covers as wow. I'm hallucinating and, you know, just dodging sandbags falling from the ceiling.
Now,
I wonder
is it choreographed
if you can...
or is it random? Because in Daredevil, it's choreographed. Like, she knows exactly when they're coming down. So it's a little bit like it's more her – actually, Elektra's skills come from her ability to program a timer.
Yeah, as all ninjas do.
So is it set on a timer that Grandmaster has programmed that you know of, or is it completely random?
It kind of feels like cheating, right? Like, if I'm going to be a ninja master, like, I got to be developing my ninja instincts. I can't just be like, oh, I studied the textbook and now I know the timing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's random.
I feel like in the movie version of this, as Phil walks in to do his final test, the lead singer from Evanescence walks out and she's disappointed because she did not qualify. It's like a little nod.
Oh, there it is.
When you're sheriff, do you talk in a raspy voice?
Oh, yeah, your taillights are out. You gotta get them fixed. Yeah, incredible. I think I'm definitely trying that out for sure.
Man, I've already lost. If I was a villain, knowing that you're good with size, the voice, the evanescence, the sand, I'd move my casino to the next town. You've won.
I think when I'm starring in Walking Tall 6 after my YouTube fame, I'm going to just write that down, that I want to work with my acting coach on what voice I'm going to do.
Yeah.
We got to make this happen. What YouTube show can we get going here?
I think Phil's YouTube show should just be him walking through his pitches for Walking Tall 6 scripts.
Yep.
There we go.
We should do a fake flick about
and
Walking
it's called,
Tall 6.
His show's called Talking Tall.
And then you do minute by minute of each movie.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Let me explain to you why this is the Walking Tall 6.
What's your weapon of choice?
So Phil can attest to this, but I'm all about, like, in my world of worlds, Paradise of Paradise, like, I'm all about like, relaxing and having people in our home and like entertaining and having like we have a fire pit in our backyard, so I'm all about having people over and just like I want to relax and have friends over to just chill. That's my A game. So I imagine when I go home for being in the special forces for 6 years and then my knee making me have to leave is what I assume. I would call you and Megan and Phil and Ju, like I'd call them all over. We're having a big backyard, you know, celebration. Adam's home. I get to see my friends again. But we're in Canada. So, mosquitoes can be a problem, right? Like bugs can be a problem. So we have, these like citronella torches that you stick into your lawn, and they're about 3.5-4 feet tall. And they're they have a big candle, and you burn it like a candle. It's a wood base with like wax around the outside of it. And so I imagine when Neil McDonough, his character, his antagonist in my film, who would be played by Jack Black, I think, comes with his boys and they're like, let's go to the casino. And they're getting in my face and they start a fight in my backyard. I take a citronella candle and it's on fire and I wail him in the face with it. So he's got a burn scar, which makes him my arch nemesis. And then because it's got that sharpened wooden bottom, I can use it as like a stabbing weapon, or I can, threaten to put it back on fire. But also I'm free when I'm fighting of mosquitoes bothering me or distracting me because it keeps the mosquitoes away.
You would get invited to so many barbecues.
I bring the citronella.
And you keep everyone safe.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And the spear, would you sharpen the bottom?
Oh, you gotta sharpen the bottom. If your bottom's not sharp, you're not using your weapon to the fullest extent.
Wow. That's a good weapon. You would have to refill the citronella a lot. So you would have to...
Well, I need multiple, right? Because like, it's only good enough till it burns and you get a new one. But they're fairly cheap. Like,
Do you stop the fight to light a new one?
No, I think when... If the candle burns all the way down and you haven't won the fight yet, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. I would never mess with a fire guy. Would you see somebody walking around with fire, you don't try to fight them.
No. No. They're $4.97 at Canadian Tire here in Canada, so it's not a big investment.
It's true. One a day?
Yeah, one a day.
And you only light it when you fight?
Yeah. I'm not using a gun, though. I'm not using a gun. Right? So, like, with the amount of bullets that were fired in Walking Tall, like, every time you pull the trigger, it's like, what, 75 cents to a dollar?
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here?
They dropped a couple thousand on the police station.
That's what I want your next Rotten Tomatoes article to be about. Cost per bullet. Right? So how much do bullets cost? And then how that directly affects the box office.
Ooh.
A 1-to-1 ratio of bullet money versus box office ratings.
Like how much do crime lords lose and miss bullets?
Right.
Do you want to hear my weapon of choice? You've already heard it.
Yeah.
So badly.
The broom. But this is the main thing. Nice broom. But whenever someone goes, hey, you sleep in the city full, like, are you sweeping the crime out of the city? I'm like, what do you mean?
You don't get it?
Yeah, they're like, no, because you have a broom. Yeah, well, I think it's really aerodynamic. I can trip people.
Yeah.
Mark, I've heard a lot of things in my life. Talk to a lot of people. I've never once, nor I don't think I'll ever will again, ever heard a broom be described as aerodynamic.
Well, when you turn it sideways, you can get some good whip on it. So it's just...
If you turn anything sideways, you can get a good whip on it, Mark.
I'll just be like, I just really like Hocus Pocus. Like, okay. Anything but sweeping. So whenever people just say to me, like, hey, man, like, you're sweeping the city out of crime. I'm like, what?
Like, yeah. I'm just imagining you trying to throw your broom through the casino window, but it just bounces off and doesn't break anything.
Yeah.
Just a 5-minute scene of Mark just like picking his broom up over and over again and trying to toss it through the window.
Crap.
Oh no.
Crap.
I have it. I have the best Mark broom scene. He walks up to the car, smashes the taillight, and then sweeps the pieces up.
Yeah. He pulls out a dustpan?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to litter.
And he puts all the pieces in the back seat of the car. There you go, sir. Have a great day.
Yeah.
I could carry a metal dustpan with me, too. And I could treat that like a gun. Because, you know, like the handle has a loop. So like my metal dustpan, I could get really good with and have a holster for it.
Man.
But whenever people talk about me sweeping crime, I'm like, what? Like, you know, if I ever win a fight, like, they're like, hey, Mark, that was a clean sweep. I'm like, what? Just act dumb every time.
Yeah.
Never give up the gag.
So I still want to have my citronella candle for my sheriff, but if I was Mark's deputy, I would fashion clubs out of surfboard material, and I'd keep making crime wave jokes that Mark would not get.
Oh, I want PsyCop, though. I want this movie. No, wait, no, wait, size, Psy.
Psy, yeah.
Psycho Cop. You could run Psycho Industries? No.
I'm trying to think if we can combine Psy and Sheriff, like Psyif. But that doesn't work.
Hard to say. He's made a Nolan film that's going to be very... It's going to look like Dark Knight. No, Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
With size. Mm-hmm. And a boombox playing Evanescence by a grandmaster in the Himalayas with sand. Well, I want this movie.
Okay, this is incredible. There's a guy I just found on Facebook with a Google search, and his name is PsyCop. That's like his actual name.
Ooh,
oh,
it's incredible.
All right, now before we get out of here, guys, I just want to do something really quick. So to promote these episodes, I like to do fun matchups. So I want you two to do a Kevin Durant matchup. So do we want to do Dwayne Johnson? It's up to you. You guys pick. Dwayne Johnson, Neil McDonough, or Kevin Durant. You guys pick.
Ooh.
I'm down with Kevin Durant. I'm a...
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, Kevin Durant, let me get my pen out. And let's see, that's Psy, and then what's the name of your weapon?
The citronella candle.
Okay, so you go first, because citronella is first, right? C.
So what am I doing here?
Well, you pick a Duran movie, Phil picks a Duran movie, so you guys each pick
one. Oh my goodness! Kevin Durant was born in Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Oh, no way!
Dude, I was born 45 minutes from Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Oh, and he was in The Strain.
This is my boy. I got to hang out with this guy. We could talk about Persians. The donut, not the people.
All right, you get first pick. Who do you got?
Okay, so I got to pick a Duran film?
Yep.
All right, 310 to Yuma.
Whoa, Phil.
I'll go with X-Men Origins.
Whoa. All right. 310 to Yuma is a hot pick right off the bat.
I'm going for broke here.
I like 310 to Yuma.
Yeah.
All right, you get your second pick.
Oh, it's just me against Phil.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. I'm going to go Butterfly Effect.
Ooh.
Oh, another solid pick. Oh, okay. I'll go Smokin' Aces with my number two pick.
Ooh, there it is. That's strong.
Very good. I'm going to go with Real Steel because it's up there in like my – these movies are way, way better than they deserve to be picks.
All right.
Scrolling. Give me – yeah, I'll go – oh, okay, here we go. I'll go with Fruitvale Station.
Oh, that's a big role. That's an important role right there. If you need a big, threatening guy, get him.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so here's a hot take of a movie that I, like, enjoyed and some people didn't. It's actually maybe not, like, doesn't have a great – I thought – anyways, A Winter's Tale.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Ambitious.
Yeah, no, for sure. Did not do great in the box office.
I was scrolling past and I saw Taken, but then I realized it was Taken the TV miniseries.
Oh wait, he's in Legion. He fights Paul Bettany. Paul Bettany.
Yeah, Angel. I'll go with Legion. Yeah, I'll take that as my next one.
All right, last one.
Mystery Alaska. You can't. No.
He's in Mystery Alaska.
He's in Mystery Alaska. You can't have like a hockey film and like not represented by a couple Canadian boys here.
He yeah. plays a guy called Tree, too. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like Mystery Alaska is Russell Crowe, yeah? So I'll take another Russell Crowe and go with Robin Hood.
Ooh, he's done a lot of Russell Crowe.
310 to Yuma.
Yeah.
Robin Hood. Noah.
Whoa.
What is going on?
Crowe must love him some Durand.
But also, Hugh Jackman did a couple with him, right? He was in Wolverine. He was in Real Steel.
Yeah. Huh. And, wow. And he was in Ballers with Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, man.
So the guy people must love this guy.
Did pretty good, didn't he?
People must love him because he keeps popping in the same movies. Wait, he's in Winter's Tale is Russell Crowe, too.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
No, Russell Crowe is in Winter's Tale.
He's in Winter's Tale.
Is he?
Yeah, he's Pearly... something or another. Pearly Soames. S-O-A-M-E-S.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. I'm thinking what Colin Farrell was the lead. But yeah, Russell Crowe is in that too.
Wait, is he in 5 Russell Crowe movies?
Is it 5 or is it 6? Go, hold on. Here's the rundown. Hold on. This is crazy. Okay, so he was in, with Russell Crowe, Mystery Alaska.
Yeah.
He was in 310 to Yuma. He was in Robin Hood. He was in Noah. He was in Winter's Tale. I think that's it.
What a discovery.
I think we can just all retire on this. And then his boy, Hugh Jackman.
And Hugh.
Wow. It doesn't get any better than this.
No. I can't believe he was born in Thunder Bay and I didn't know.
He's in Big Mama's House too, which features a jet ski action scene.
Yep.
All right. So, hey, before we get out of here, Adam, tell them about Go Figure.
Yeah, so we got our YouTube channel going, Go Figure, where we just take old toys and fix them up. We're doing a lot of custom stuff this year, and so stop by. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. And Phil, tell them about what was the name of it? Talking Tall?
Talking Tall?
Yeah. Yeah, tell them about
my Talking Tall YouTube show. My newly formulated YouTube channel that I'm going to go and register as soon as we hang up here. I'm going to be talking and doing voices and accents. As if you guys have heard of my podcast episodes, I've got a great Christopher Walken impression. I busted out my Batman voice this episode. Got some McConaughey. I'll do some McConaughey as well. It's going to be great.
Okay.
And your Evanescence cover album is coming out in June. So I'm looking forward to that.
Guys, yeah. We have a lot of time to get this together because it's only February right now. But knowing that Phil has a great Christopher Walken voice and does a great Batman voice, I'm gonna propose that for next year, as a Christmas gift to the Movies, Films, and Flicks listeners, we do a dramatic reading of the Batman Returns script.
Wow. There it is.
I'll do it. You know I'm crazy enough to do that.
I'm in. I'm totally into that. It's a Christmas movie.
Wow.
Look at some flexes. Wow.
We can talk Rundown, too.
We all have
too.
To do it in our own walk-in accents.
Hey! Wow. Yeah. It's Dwayne Johnson wrecking my village.
You understand the concept of the Tooth Fairy.
Is that you and Bremer playing a bagpipe? Oh, brother. Hey, well, thank you guys for joining me. This is wonderful.
This is so much fun.
All right.
Yeah,
so
a blast, as always.
All right. And then, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for, Phil Puddin Briggs, and Adam Potato Peeler Hodgins, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.